I couldn't even tell you who they played. I don't remember who they played. I don't remember if they won. Well, they didn't. I know they didn't win, but I can't remember if they drew or they lost.
Don't do that much, eh?
All I know is that it was another
shitty.
You watched
the game, Blake. You watched the game.
Hey, good little team they have.
We here and we are remote.
Hello, everybody. It's the Real Football Podcast coming at you for number 46. And for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, this is a big milestone in the Real Football Podcast. Me, Blake, and Antoine are here delivering you a remote podcast. We got Blake coming in from Whitby, Antoine coming in from Mississauga, and myself from the depths of Etobicoke. And this seems weird. This seems very weird, guys.
I feel like I'm dreaming in it.
Like, it is very, very weird, eh? It's not. It just doesn't hit the same being with you guys, but hey, nonetheless, at least we're not taking a break this year because last year kind of killed us.
Yeah. That's true. And there's still a lot of opportunities for us to be together and pod together throughout the summer. Absolutely. Now that we have our mics, I think we should definitely do that. But this first remote pod is a big step. It's not bad, eh? It's not bad. Hey,
I don't think, looking back on it, I don't think the boom arm was the play. I think I like this. It's just,
I agree.
It's there.
I agree.
It's in front of me. I don't have to move. I'm chilling.
And then there's me here with a freaking tripod on a phone. But anyways.
Yeah, I need to invest in that though. I do need to invest.
No, this
in
looks
that.
So stupid. True. That's what I'm saying. Look how dumb this is.
No, it's okay, Drew. It's
nice,
okay.
Dumb. It's a nice dumb. We love this microphone.
Holy crap. There was a lot of football that we missed.
So much football to talk about. So today,
a lot of football.
So today, everybody, is Thursday. We were supposed to record on Tuesday, but then we had some technical issues in the studio. We were like, hey, you know what? Let's let the second legs play out in the Champions League, and then we'll record. We'll come back Thursday. And we're here delivering it remote, and we have so much to talk about. We haven't been in studio, guys, since the first legs of these quarterfinal Champions
Insane.
League draws.
Before the first leg, right?
Before the first leg, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have all that to talk about. PSG are through.
They are.
Arsenal are not. And we're going to go into depth about all of that. We had some serious Premier League football. It's okay, Blake, because you're not the only one here whose club is in shambles.
Okay, shambles is crazy. Shambles is crazy, but we'll get to that.
Different definitions of shambles there. But we had a Canada versus France friendly announcement. That's going to be an interesting
watch.
Should we watch that one together, boys?
I think we should. I think it's a must. What day is it on? June 9th. Something? Yeah, okay.
Where are they playing?
It's a must.
Where are they playing? Are they playing here?
I don't know. I tried finding it, but...
It's probably going to be
in here.
Spain or something. Yeah. Hey, if they play here, I'm so down to go.
Go to Spain.
Yeah, but it's going to be like a neutral ground for sure, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Makes sense.
And then we have a little FPL roundup at the end, but we'll get to all that. But first... Like you discussed with me earlier, there's a little bit of breaking news today. Some big but not so big news.
Yeah, it's interesting in the midst of everything of Champions League drama and Premier League drama and whatever, that the thing that really caught my eye was that the FA Cup is abolishing replays. So I don't know when the replay stop. I think might be the round of 16 where the replay stop.
Oh,
or it goes to two
season.
Legs. No,
is it?
No. Like for next season, I don't know the exact thing, but usually like the round 3, 4, 5 before it gets to like that bracket stage, there's replays. So if it ends as a draw, the away team gets to have the home fixture and they go again. And then if that ends as a draw, obviously it goes to extras and penalties even. But now that's gone. And I think it's great because why are we adding more games to an already immensely busy schedule, especially for the big teams in Europe? I think it's a great change and I think it needed to be changed a while ago.
Highly disagree.
I never really understood why they implemented that in the first place. I mean, extra time just makes the game so much better.
Yeah,
it just makes
so
much more sense. Like yesterday when Real Madrid went to extra time with City, it just like brought a whole new dynamic to the game. So
no, and
killing,
it's different.
Completely killing that and bringing another game just ruins the purpose.
No, 100% is different when it's like a second leg. That's a whole different standard of football. This is like. Not even a second leg. It's just another game that only
it's
is
like
happening
the first
because.
Game didn't even matter.
Yeah, exactly. So, Julian, why do you think it's a bad change? Because
it doesn't
I swear
make a
we talked about
for the big clubs.
No,
it doesn't make a difference for the big clubs.
No, but we talked about this a couple of pods ago about the FIFA Club World Cup getting bigger, and you were like, oh, they play too many games. This is bad, blah, blah, blah. So why is your opinion changed?
And they
now
still do.
When it comes
when,
to this.
When was the last time you saw your team play an FA Cup replay?
Probably this season.
No, it didn't happen this season. No, I'm just saying, but from what it is right now is that FA Cup replays don't happen after, I think, the fourth round. And the fourth round is when the Premier League teams enter the competition. From the first, second, third, and even like the preliminary rounds is all like the minor teams from all around England from the 10th tier up. And those teams right now, even like they don't get the opportunity for replay either. Like say like a Forest Green Rovers draw Man United and Man United come to their stadium and they somehow earn a draw, and that's massive. And now they get a replay where they get to go to Old Trafford now, and that TV revenue alone can keep them alive for the next 5 years or something.
But you see, you're seeing that the opposite way that I'm seeing it, because imagine you're Forest Green Rovers, whatever their name is, and you get a draw at home against United, but then you have to completely do it all over again for a whole other game.
That's a good point.
And the first game didn't even count. Plus you're away now.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Because
just from the financial aspect of the TV rights and just going to Old Trafford and the gate and the millions of pounds you're going to earn, that's going to, no matter how the result goes, like this is just transcending beyond the on the pitch reasons. You are set up for like an amazing future now.
But you're looking at it as like a financial point of view. We're looking at it from a pure
football point of view. And that's why this change was made.
But how?
How?
For less financial
gain? If they get more revenue playing a second game.
Yeah, why would they abolish it?
Because they want to please the big team. That's why, bro, you think the teams in like the seventh division or any team above like above that top six Premier League level was asking for no replays? They weren't. This is a tradition that's been the FA Cup for over 120 years since it was founded. And replays, especially for a smaller league team, going up against someone like even in like League One or the Championship, earning that replay is massive for them. And this doesn't add any more game. Like this rarely adds another game for a top team that's playing too many games anyways. Like this isn't like the problem.
So then why do you care about it so much? You just said it doesn't add games. So why do you care?
Because like I'm still looking at how it affects every team in the FA Cup, not just freaking. I think it's ignorant to just look at how it affects six teams across the 92 in the Football League and the thousands that are below them, because this affects every single one of them.
I swear you also talked about like the competition being so vast, or remember we had that whole debate about like you said there should be more teams going down from the Premier League and more teams going up or something like that.
Oh, yeah, how the playoffs should be expanded.
Yeah, that was a big debate.
Yeah, which was, again, I don't even want to get into that. But this is kind of feeling similar, because with the replays gone, it gives the chance for that team, if they do put a shift in that one game, the momentum in that game is still combined in that game. Exactly. It stays within the game. So there's more opportunity for them to go through. You want to talk about revenue rights? What you think these teams would care? Like, yes, sure, money is great. But you think they care about getting an extra 500 grand? Or do you think they care about making to the round of 16, that's where the money comes in.
As a small
because
team.
Because that's when the fans get to come in more. And yeah, that's when, like, exactly. As a small team, it's good. Go ahead.
Making it as a small team to, like, progressing past the big teams is worth so much more than just getting a little bit more revenue from playing an extra game.
You ask any of these chairmen that question? You ask any of these chairmen that question?
Well, it's the chairman. Obviously, their main priority won't be to win football games. It'll be to increase the revenue.
They can't win football games.
When did you become such a financial advisor? Like, fuck off.
No, but like that's all I'm saying. But like it's just, I don't know. I think of it like a pyramid, and I don't want the clubs to have so much power that they can just F off to a Super League one day, you know? Like that's what makes me think about it, kind of like big picture of football. Because this seems like a minor change, but it's more money and more power to the big six clubs in England, which I don't like. And like, you know, I'm a fan of one. You can't say I'm biased or anything.
So definitely like an agree to disagree type thing.
I think you're overthinking it a little bit.
But from the financial point of view, I completely understand your point. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, it's never been about money. Like Let's be honest. We prefer football over money. Every single fan with a right mind would prefer just an extra time instead of a whole extra game that kills the momentum.
I agree. There's no way we spent 10 minutes talking about this and and we had like the craziest Champions League stuff happen. So
I'm here fighting for Forest Green Rovers, okay? Yeah. Screw the PSG and Arsenal.
Hey, Julian and fantasizes about beating Forest Green Rovers. We fantasize about winning the Champions League.
There you go.
There are a level. I'm so ready for United to lose in the semifinals of the FA Cup. You're so not ready for it. Who are you? Coventry. We're playing against Coventry. I'm so ready to lose.
Hey,
bro, respectfully, who cares? No one cares about the FA Cup.
I know. I don't think I'll be watching it. Respectfully,
you guys can lose and I'll laugh, but like at the end of the day, I don't care.
The semifinal, the tickets for the semifinal to go to United versus Coventry are going for more money than Chelsea versus Man City.
No way. That's insane.
But no, then again,
that is crazy.
Yeah. Anywho,
I'm sorry. Just quickly, I'm just looking at some online feed and. The first one from The Guardian about the FA Cup abolishment of replays is the headline is an absolute disgrace. Decision to scrap FA Cup replays met with fury. So maybe more people are on Julian's side than
I thought.
Then again, think of like the English fans and sporting fans in general. They hate change. They hate like innovation. Like human nature is to hate change. So I mean, I'm sure there's obviously it's rooted in tradition, but we need to stop talking about this. There's so much more to talk about.
Hold on, I want to read this reaction. We have bigger subjects to get into. This reaction now. Okay,
dude, we're not reading this reaction. Move on, bro. Like we're good. It's okay.
All right, fine. All right, shout out Forest Green Rovers, though. All right, let's get into the Champions League then.
Let's do it.
Okay. PSG are into the quarterfinals. Arsenal send packing back home. Which game do we want to start with, lads?
Go with PSG first.
Oh, I was going to say, should we just take the bullet out?
I mean, we can rip it off if you want. We can rip it off. I'm in fairly good spirits, despite the fact that yesterday potentially was the worst sporting day of my life. And I've had some pretty bad sporting days.
Talk us through it, Blake.
Give all the context.
So it started with the Arsenal loss, which was bad enough. And then obviously we're Canadian and I'm a big Toronto sports fan in general. So then the Jays had a nice little lead going to the ninth inning. They blew that as well. That was great. And then not that the Leaf game mattered at all besides Matthews trying to score 70.
And he
hit the bar. He had like 11 shots and they lost. So, and he didn't score 70, like you said. So in that aspect, it was terrible. But just from the game aspect, wow, there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack. Can I just say I don't think we were terrible?
I didn't watch the game. I was gone, and then I just watched the end of City. So
the first half, especially I was reading AFTV comments, I was reading Twitter comments. The first half, everyone was like, professional half, boys, mature half, in a tough ground. Yeah. Like, and I agree, they came out strong, but we dictated the play, and I thought in the first half we were great. And then ultimately, I was trying to figure out what went wrong, and I don't think it was one specific moment. I think it was just what Jamie Carragher talked about on the post-game show on CBS. He said, you know, City and Arsenal, like, they may not be better. Or, sorry, they may not be worse than Real Madrid and Bayern. But the fact that Real Madrid and Bayern have, like, 2019-18 Champions Leagues combined.
21.
Something like that. And Arsenal and City have won. So it's that mentality and that matureness and that experience that City, whatever, but for Arsenal's sake, just is so not there. It's completely like irrelevant to them because this is their first time in the Champions League. Like more than half of our team, this is their first time ever in the Champions League, let alone a Champions League quarterfinal against one of the most established teams and within the past decade and a half. Do I think we should have done better? Yes, but I'm trying to take the positive and I usually don't do this, but I was heartbroken, but I wasn't angry.
It's such an experience thing. Like, it's just such an, like, you don't understand how much experience matters in these competitions. It's like for American sports, like playoffs is just a completely different game. Same thing with Champions League. You just, if you're not experienced, and I mean, Arsenal do have a couple players that have been in the in the high levels of Champions League games. But if you're not, if your whole squad hasn't been in it, there's bound to be some frailties. There's bound to be, like, Arteta hasn't been that far, you know. It's just an experience thing. Bayern are the mentality kings. We've seen it time and time again.
And that's where it went wrong. Like I told you, I was searching for a place where it went wrong, and that's what it was. And people were shitting on Saka. Saka's getting a lot of hate, which I hate. Like I saw someone say we need a new right winger. I was like, do you remember the goal he scored in the first leg? And then going back to the first leg, we should have won that game 2-0, maybe 2-1. They shouldn't have scored. You know what I'm saying? You want to talk about immaturity? Simple mistakes that didn't happen within the league, that haven't happened. But when the time gets really, really stressful, like it did against Villa this past weekend, like it did in the first leg of the Champions League, like it did now, just yesterday, the maturity and the immaturity in Arsenal's sake shines through. So it's just about experience, and it's about getting a new striker in the summer, and it's about trusting. Yeah, we need a new striker. We need a striker. Like, you need one. The only team within the last decade to win a Champions League without a proper nine was Chelsea, and that was like.
Did you see Arteta's interview?
Yeah, but he said they didn't. They asked about the number nine. Oliver Kahn asked about the nine, and he was like, "Well, we've scored without it," and he's not wrong. They have scored without it, but. When that ability to score without it gets locked down by the opposing defense, you need a nine to break through. And we don't have that security blanket. So tactically, I think Arteta did fine. I think none of the players played amazing, but I don't think any of them had stinkers. Maybe the wingers could have done better, but it's a big game. I don't think anyone, barring maybe Kane, his hold-up play was nice. I don't think anyone on Bayern had it. Fantastic game either. Musiala had some nice runs, but it was an even match game.
What was the goal like?
It was just a cross, like a little mistake in the midfield, and then a cross came in and it went to the far side, and then someone on the left-hand side picked it up, and another cross came in, and Kimmich came from right back. No one picked up the runner. It was like a perfect play.
Kimmich, of all people.
Freaking Kimmich.
Hey,
I don't think I've ever watched Joshua Kimmich.
Yeah, that's insane. Eh?
Oh. Shut up. Oh, yeah, we didn't even acknowledge.
Shut up.
And then he won the freaking... Oh, my God.
So anyway, I've just been speaking so much about this, but it's obviously like a therapy session for me right now. But
we're all
surprisingly, like, but the last thing I'm going to say for now is that this isn't a sign to quit. This is a sign that we're in the right direction. And I think a lot of Arsenal fans are taking it as like, Arteta, is this plan working? Is this really what we should be doing? And I'm like, look at us 4 years ago. Of course it is. But now next year is crazy. I said this year was title or bust, championship or bust. Mm-hmm. Next year is like, whoa.
That's next year now. Because it'll be between you and City again. Assuming Liverpool fall off a bit without Klopp.
So. I don't know. Like, Julian, you watched the game.
I'm surprised you're taking the optimistic side of things, Blake.
Yeah, I am. I thought it would be like Miles in here too.
Yeah, if Miles was in here, I thought it was going to be like a clash between Blake being like, Miles, this is not good enough. And then Miles being like, but it's okay because we tried at least. But seeing Blake takes the optimistic side of things.
Miles is at work at the moment and we're missing him.
Yeah, we miss you, Miles.
Yeah, we do miss you. I don't know, guys. Like, it's just... That performance wasn't one to be ashamed of. And we've seen Arsenal get 10-2'd by this team. So it didn't leave me shameful. It left me disappointed. And like I said, that might have been the most heartbreaking loss I've ever witnessed. And I've seen a lot of terrible losses. But that one, just because of how I thought, there was an aspect of maturity, an aspect of belongingness within that game that I saw that made me proud to be an Arsenal fan. We're just not there yet. And if we went through against Bayern and we go up against Real and City, I wouldn't have been surprised if we lost. So it's not like this was our year. It could have been in a crazy world where everything went perfect and everyone was on form. It could have been our year, but it wasn't, right? So it's not a time to be discouraged. It's a time to realize that we're in the right direction and we got to just keep going and full focus on the league now.
It's also all about like the luck you get in the draw. Like if you guys were on the other side, respectfully, you guys... probably make it to the final.
Probably be finals bound.
Yeah. So, but that's right? Football, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, like, how proud are you of your Champions League run the season, because like you had a relatively easy group, you had a relatively easy round of 16 draw, and then you came up against a probably the worst Bayern team in years, but still a good opponent, and came so close.
See, again, we also talked about this, about Dortmund. I was shitting on Dortmund. You were, oh, it's still a good side. So I'm not hearing I'm not hearing, because it's, again, I agree. They are one of the, statistically speaking, they're the worst Bayern side we've seen in like a decade.
A decade.
So, however, you can't use that argument if you're going to do the Dortmund thing. So whatever.
Fair. No, it's fair. That's fair.
I'm proud. I'm disappointed. But this is experience. And no team within their first year back in the Champions League ever does the thing. It would have been nice if they did. But I'm proud.
I want to come in here again with what Miles said in the group chat yesterday, because we do miss you ever so much, Miles. So I've gathered a quote here from him. This game yesterday had Miles turning into a philosopher. He wrote to us, "How can a team of 11 men kicking a ball around twice a week across the world take so much from me and give so little to me? It's a rather preposterous. Fuck's sake."
For the record, I've never heard Miles say these words in my life, let alone spelling them correctly.
I never heard these words in general. Like, I can't say them. It's a rather preposterous and perplexing thought. There you go.
Crazy.
Shout out, Miles. We miss you, man.
Can I be philosophical for a second?
Absolutely. Go for it.
On vacation in Florida, funnily enough, because I was with my dad and my aunt and uncle, and you know, they're big Blue Jays fans, just big sporting fan. Like, our family's a big sports family. We were talking about it and like how disappointing Toronto sports teams have been and blah, blah, blah. And we talked about, is winning really that good? Is it really, really that fulfilling? Or is it like everything that leads up to it? Like everything else that comes before the winning, is that really what's important? Because you keep watching, like, one team wins every year. Sure, they get to reap the benefits of that. But the one team doesn't have the same feelings as the rest of the 29 or 30 or that lose. So is it really that good of a feeling winning it all as a fan? Or is it everything else?
It's so winning. Because if you go...
Yes, it is.
Because I'm not happy about losing the World Cup when our team put on the best World Cup final performance ever.
So then why is the like the Bautista bat flip one of the most iconic sporting events ever? Why is,
because you won.
I said is winning the whole thing, not just, no, I'm talking about literally the big thing. Because
of course,
like just that of winning or everything else, like the Toronto Raptors 2019 run, the big moment wasn't winning, it was the Kawhi shot, it was what led up to it. So, I think I'm still on the side of I think winning is great, because I'm just saying there's like an argument to be made that it's not, the best parts don't really come from winning. It's everything else that happens. So that's why
I don't know, man.
It's the hope that you get.
Detroit Pistons fan if he likes winning. Okay, sure. I think I know his answer.
But that's what I'm saying is that this whole journey, my whole life, Miles' whole life, your whole life as a United fan, your whole life as a PSG fan, it's all cumulative until you get to that moment, until PSG wins a Champions League. Hopefully this year. I'm cheering for PSG this year.
Hey.
I do.
Until United get into the Champions League again, which isn't happening this year because fifth place is off the marks now that City and Arsenal are out of the Champions League.
We're never going to get anyways, but yeah.
I know. I just want to take a shot. Until Arsenal wins the Champions League for the first time in their history, all that cumulative hurt and joy and nerves and stress that have all bundled inside of us for our whole lives of sporting fans, that's what comes out. But it's not just that moment. It's everything that happened.
I think the reason that these moments you were talking about are so iconic is because of the hope that it gives you to be able to win the actual thing. Like the Bautista bat flip, the Kawhi shot, and like Mbappe's second goal in the World Cup final. Like it's just the hope that you get. You're like, oh my God, we can actually do this. So yeah. that concludes to like winning is the whole thing. Like you can't beat a feeling that's better than winning.
Exactly.
Fair.
Bautista with a drive wouldn't be special if we then went on to lose that game.
But they didn't win.
Shot wouldn't be special.
You're not listening though. But the Bautista drive, they didn't win the World Series. And
I know we didn't win the World Series. We won that series.
No, I know, but that's not my argument though. My argument is that everything, I'm talking about winning everything. You're talking about winning a game. Obviously, everyone likes winning a game. Moments aren't special unless you win the game. But I'm talking about like the whole thing. The actual act of winning a title may not be as great as everything else. Like the whole lead up is everything that is the important part. Anyway, let's move on. I love Arsenal. I'm depressed. I've been talking a lot. I'm sorry.
How's in your feels, bro? Holy.
This is my therapy session. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's shall we pivot across the country to Manchester, or should we glaze Antoine for 10 minutes about now, PSG?
Antoine, go. You deserve it.
Come on, buddy.
Wow. I mean, roller coaster of emotions for sure.
Oh my god.
No.
Hey,
no,
winning's seriously. Pretty good, eh?
Hey, winning feels good, doesn't it, Lake? I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No. I just said I was cheering for them. Don't be a dickhead, please.
No, I know. It's a great feeling because we haven't been in the semifinals for a couple of years now, and with a team that with our like the caliber of our players and the amount of effort that we put into getting to the later stages of the Champions League, not being there and being knocked out of the Champions League in the round of 16 for 2 years in a row really did hurt. I also said that it was a project and that I would not be too upset if we didn't make it this year. But like that one part inside of me still was like, we need to, right? But yeah, it's great. First leg, since we didn't cover it, we lost 3-2, played horribly, like the worst performance of the season, without a doubt. Came on the first half, played well for 10 minutes. Then it was all Barca for the whole game until we scored those two goals. And once we scored those two goals, they just flipped the switch, Barca, and they came back at us and they scored two. That corner on the third goal for Barca, and this season as a whole, we need to do better at defending corners or set pieces in general. Because how many times in the second leg did we see a ball get floated into the box from like a free kick or a corner, and there was immediately a threat? Like I can think of that Ferran Torres like moment where he just came on the field. It's a free kick. I don't know who lofts it in, but he just does a bad touch, and then Bajkola clears it. If he takes a good touch, the game is flipped, like completely flipped. So yeah, in that aspect, we do need to get better. But overall, second leg, we watched it together. Julian, great little vlog you made. I love it. Brought a tear to my eye. No, I'm kidding. But what a day, honestly. They come out, get conceded on. Awful goal. I don't know what the hell Donnarumma was doing. He's probably the player that I will criticize the most out of that.
I feel like that's slightly unfair to criticize him on that. He has to cover his near post.
I mean, like, as he does have to cover his near post, but as a whole, and he has proven that before, as a whole, when it gets to the big games, when it starts counting, when it starts to matter, he's proven that, like, apart from the Euros, obviously, but he's proven against Real Madrid, against Bayern, he's proven that he's just not that big of a player. So to come out and honestly didn't have a great performance, probably the worst player on our team on Tuesday, I will have to criticize him, because if I compare him to what Navas was doing when we reached the Champions League final, like Navas was such a good keeper for us. And even like Sirigu and Kevin Trapp, like I loved what they were doing. Oh. But like a smile.
Kevin Trapp.
You'll never forget Sirigu, bro.
Kevin Trapp.
Never forget Silvatore Sirigu.
Loki, Sirigu, like Sirigu kind of a cult hero. Loki a cult hero.
You laughed at me for that.
I remember that.
Right?
I remember that. I did laugh at you. And then I was like, no, Sirigu actually made an impact at our club. And I felt bad.
Nah,
exactly.
It's weird because I was literally thinking about that the other day too. I was like, yo, when Julian mentioned Sirigu, we literally laughed at him. I think it's because we were just like joking about like how many players were ass. And then whenever Julian said something, we would just flame him.
But yeah, that was like
that was like prime, like who's better than.
Yeah, literally, like we just shit on every.
Oh, that was so.
Which
fun.
Really, we should have been doing. We should bring that segment back.
We should bring that back.
100%, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah. No.
So, oh my god.
Go ahead.
I'm not gonna give you any.
So let's tell me. Just talking about Dembele, obviously, and his performance, because I just feel like that was such a staple. Coming back to the
big grin just came over Antoine's face.
It's not really his home ground, but
he is
tell me about it.
The number one enemy of football right now, or of Barca at least. Because,
yeah.
Bro, how do you come out? Barca fans were saying, oh, he's getting the Figo treatment, all this. First of all, Barca fans were more worried about giving Dembele a hard time than actually winning the game. I'll come and say that because they were not focused on winning the game, those Barca fans. They were just focused on yelling at Dembele. Dembele has a great performance, wins a penalty, scores a goal, gets man of the match. I don't know if man of the match was deserved, but hey, builds his story, doesn't it? That grin,
bro.
That grin, oh when he gets subbed off and when he's on the bench, that picture of him with his big smile, all I see in TikTok comments now, if it's like a French TikTok with PSG fans, it's just everyone has that profile picture now. If you go to Barca's TikTok, FC Barcelona's TikTok page, it's just all the comments are just Dembele's face. You just scroll. It's just trolling. Honestly, they deserved it though, because they started it, and I'm not like, oh, they started it. I'm not being like childish in that sense. But Barcelona's admin before the game, they posted a picture of like you know those like big, I know what they're called in French, but I don't know what they're called in English. It's like the like those flying things with like, it's like a square in the middle and you stand in the square and like they go up.
Huh?
It's not a blimp, but it's
Yo, what?
I don't know what it's called. Hold on. Let me
Oh, blimp. Like
like a tunnel?
Oh.
No, I know what. Hold on. I'll search up the definition.
What is it? What is blood talking
a hot
about?
Hot air balloon?
Yes, hot air balloon. Yes, and on
a
it.
Hot.
Okay,
where's so it the was square in a hot air balloon? What?
No, like the thing that you stand in.
In the basket.
The basket.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was like, the balloon is fucking ovular. What is going on here?
Anyways, the whole point of that was they posted a picture of a hot air balloon saying "Sempre Barça," which means like, I don't know, Barça forever or something like that. And it was a picture of that next to the Eiffel Tower. So as soon as that happened, like Barça fans were like, yeah, yeah. So that kind of built on to like all the fire that Barca fans were throwing at PSG. And then after the first leg, the Barca fans at the Parc des Princes, they were like saying au revoir PSG, like they were chanting au revoir PSG, which after the first leg is insane, up by one goal.
Yeah.
Is wild. So now getting that revenge is so sweet. And Dembele being the main guy to do it. I love it. Was it what? Was it a red?
Was it a red?
Absolutely.
Was it a red?
Look, I see people, yeah. Xavi Hernandez especially. Xavi Hernandez, I saw TikTok, he needs to stop making excuses because even their fan base is getting mad now. Like, yeah. Apparently, like all season long, he's been making excuses. He has like 5 red cards this year, which is insane as a coach.
What?
5 red cards, I know.
I do feel like that is a bit due to the like the aspect of him just leaving. Like he knows he's leaving, so he's like...
But
his leash is a bit
someone that like look
I don't know.
Have you ever seen Carlo Ancelotti be mad? Like,
well,
truly get mad at a ref. This guy's always just composed, straight face, and that's partly why Real Madrid are doing so good. Because they have their main coach is like composed.
Yeah. Just think about psychologically though, like he knows he's leaving, so obviously he wants his team to still win and he loves Barca, but think if you were in that position and you know you're leaving, like there's no reprimand for your actions. You can kind of say whatever you want, do whatever you want. What are they going to do? Fire you? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. That's,
but that's the thing. Like if your coach is not the most composed person, how is the team going to be composed?
Yeah.
That makes sense. How are you going to bring calmness to your squad if you're not the most calm man on the touchline?
And especially when you get a red card to go down to 10 men, you're in the second leg of the Champions League, you have a razor thin lead. The last thing you need to be doing is playing with your emotions.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, it was a red card. Absolutely.
There are managers who are very, very a lot on the touchline. Like
yeah,
Pep, Arteta.
Even Arteta,
Pep,
yeah.
Yeah. It's styles and it works for some, doesn't for others.
Yeah.
Now but back to red card though. I think it's absolutely red. Like there's genuinely no debate. Bakula is through on goal. Araujo is chasing him. And as a player, you are always taught, like even in like when you're a kid, you're always taught to, if you're in the box and a guy has his hand on your shoulder or any type of contact, you're gonna fall. Right?
Yeah.
Where I think there is a mistake is, I think Araujo makes a mistake because why would you concede a red card when you could take the gamble of letting Barcola have a one-on-one against the keeper, which, by the way, Barcola, I don't know if I trust him like that well right now.
I don't.
To have a one-on-one against Ter Stegen. So why don't you just let the one-on-one happen, stay on the pitch. If the goal happens, you're still tied. Or no, you're still up because they were winning. You're still up by one goal. You have 11 players.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, as a professional player, I'm sorry, that was like the thing that changed the game, because you just can't do that. He's sold Barca. Like, I don't know why Barca are mad at the refs. I think Barca fans should be mad at Araujo.
I don't know if it was completely intentional, though. That's my only thing. Because what Barcola did was smart. He cut across the runner, which is also what you're taught to do. It's just physics or whatever, mathematics. He cut across the runner, better angle, whatever. But also by doing that, he kind of initiates contact inadvertently, which makes Araujo have to make contact with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
but
no, I saw a Gundogan interview. He said he was gonna keep his thoughts to himself about the penalty, and to me that just kind of proves that he thought it was a pen as well. I could tell he felt kind of upset at Araujo for committing that.
Like, in what world is that not a penalty?
Seriously, yeah, if that was not a penalty, we would have everyone flooding comments. It'd be like one of the biggest controversies.
Yeah.
Because he was the last man, and Kubarsi wasn't even close.
That's the only thing, is do people think it was last man? It was. If you don't think that, you're stupid.
Obviously
but
it was, dude.
People are going to be shitheads about it.
It's just whatever. It's basic footy rules. Like,
y'all went through?
You're taught all this as a kid. Yeah, we went through. Happy, very happy. Vitinha, best midfielder in the world right now. I'll say that right now.
Hey, man, I can't disagree.
No, see, this is why Antoine pissed me off so much.
You can't really prove me wrong, can you? Most informed midfielder, but most informed midfielder in the world at the moment.
Great, great. You said best midfielder. That's just not how this works.
It's a synonym, isn't it?
No.
It's a synonym, isn't it?
Like, dickhead and bad person, or like devil worshiper and bad person could be synonyms. You know what I mean? But they're not, because they have two connotations towards them. So
right. But so who do you feel is the best midfielder in the world then?
Mohamed Elneny. So okay. Sorry.
No, most informed for sure. Why not Bellingham? Most informed for sure.
Okay.
Bellingham sucks.
Speaking of Bellingham,
there was a City hint lost. Of me. Hey. There was a hint of me that wanted City to go through. You know that?
Bro, what, like,
because it's Mbappe's Ballon d'Or year. It's Mbappe's Ballon d'Or year, and Madrid going through just boosts Jude's chance to get to the final.
And then it boosts the Man City players too.
This is why Antoine pisses me off sometimes. Like, it's this little thing. Like, you wanted City
to go
through.
It's not a little thing though. I want my one of my favorite players of all time to win a Ballon d'Or.
It's because he doesn't support a team in the Prem. That's why. That's genuinely why.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I also don't like City though, but I still, like, I don't know. I wouldn't have been that upset if they went through.
See, that's crazy.
Obviously, it would have been harder because you need to beat City, but
like the
but then City going through also decreases the chances of PSG winning the championship.
But I don't
the chances.
I don't really see like that.
Win the Ballon d'Or.
Who would win the Ballon d'Or in City? No one's having an outstanding season. Foden. I forgot about Foden. Yeah, Foden's done now. No Ballon d'Or for him. Unless, I don't care how good you do at the Euros.
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
But yeah, like I said, City. They lost, and that made me feel a lot better. So much better. So much better. A little
Real
better.
Saving football?
Honestly, bro.
What?
Real saving football?
Oh, saving football. Yeah. Yeah. That pen from Bernardo is diabolical.
So diabolical. Funny. So he did like an identical one against Kepa a couple of years back, where he just like went side foot straight down the middle, and then Kepa was seen talking to Lunin before the penalty shootout, and he probably said Bernardo.
No way.
Yeah. Bro.
Like, respectfully, I feel like if you go down the middle, obviously it's statistically a pretty good shot.
It is a really kind of a pussy move though.
Yeah, like you're kind of a bitch if you go down the middle.
There's a bit of like bitchiness and like an arrogance to it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's like, I don't know.
It's like, no, Panenka's that arrogance. Down the middle is just like, I genuinely think statistically down the middle might be the best. Because they always dive. Yeah. They always dive.
do you want to know where the best shot is, but no one ever goes because it's really hard? It's like, it's not the corners. It's Simon. Like, you know, the goal obviously a
right above the keeper's head.
Above the keeper's head, but to the left or to the right, because no keeper is diving that way. Oh, if you put it up in, like, okay, look at the box on our Zoom call. If you put it right here or here, what keeper is diving there? No one. They can dive really far this way and get it. But if you hit here every time, you're scoring.
Yeah, but hitting there every time is just the hard thing to do.
I know.
No. Also, as a keeper, like, if you guess they're going to go down the middle and then they pick a corner, you look really stupid.
Mm-hmm. You look really dumb. Really dumb. I love those keeper saves where they dive and they kick it with their foot because they went down the middle.
Oh, yeah. Those are nice.
It's my type of save.
Catching a pen is insane. That's so embarrassing for Bernardo. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, his girl's at home watching that. She just got the ick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he's getting no play.
Yeah, no.
He's
getting nothing, no play. He got nothing yesterday.
I'm going to be honest.
For the next, month.
Yeah. No, I'll be honest. So I didn't watch the game. Like, obviously, I was fully focused on the mm-hmm. Arsenal game.
Yeah.
And even during the extra time, like, I tried to turn it on. I was like,
not really in the headspace in it.
No, but I did watch the penalties because it's penalties. But,
mm-hmm.
No, fair.
Were you happy when, were you like, yeah, when, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did kind of save your mood a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. That was the one good thing about yesterday.
Yeah, honestly, bro. Now I'm so excited for the semifinals and just the rest of the Champions League. Because.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like so many years I hate watching City.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know.
I'm just begging because, like, I'm not even interested in the Champions League because I'm just like, yeah, they're gonna freaking win it anyways. Like, what's even the point of watching?
Yeah,
they do kind of ruin it in that way. It's like the Warrior syndrome. Like, they're too good. It's such good football you're watching, but it's like, god damn it, man, leave some for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Now they are, and I'm so happy about it. Yeah. And now, I think this is the first time they haven't made the semis in years, bro. Like.
Yeah, it's good. And honestly, you're right. There is no real big team to hate watch. I mean, I'm hate watching Bayern because I don't want them to win. But any of the other three,
I mean, if they win it, it makes you look better, to be fair.
Yeah, that's the thing.
True. See, I've never been that person, though. I've always been like, if you beat me, like, fuck you. Like, I've always been that person. But you're right. That is totally true. Like, we lost the champions. It's a pretty, pretty good way to go out. But yeah, I guess PSG is the one team. Low-key Dortmund. Like, Dortmund's kind of a cuter story than PSG, but...
I'm telling you, Dortmund's very underrated.
I don't want Sancho to win it, though. I don't want Sancho to win it.
Sancho winning it would be insane, eh?
Bro, if Sancho wins it, I'll be so mad.
I never thought about that. That'd be fucking crazy. I hope he does.
And the thing is, bro, against Atletico, he stunk it up so hard. He did nothing all game. He just did, one little cute dribble where, he didn't even go past his defender, but, he kind of made it look pretty. Now it's getting clipped up all over Twitter.
That's crazy.
Oh, United struggling down in seventh while Sancho was doing it on the biggest stage. Shut up. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
If he wins it, I'll be, oh, my God.
Imagine after the heartbreak that was last year for Dortmund. Imagine Marco Reus lifting that fucking title, that Champions League title.
Oh, that would be nice.
God, that'd be amazing.
I'm going for PSG in the semis, obviously. But
thank you.
I might have to go Dortmund now.
For a neutral fan, I feel like a Bayern Dortmund final would be great.
Oh yeah,
that'd be amazing. The
classicer, my lord,
as a final.
And last time we got that in the Champions League final was also at Wembley.
No way.
Interesting.
You're talking about theories and TikToks. Yeah. That's the theory right there. This is proof that Bayern and Dortmund will make the Champions League final.
All right, let's shift a little bit. Let's go to the Prem, where we have lots of things to talk about. Mainly, more pain for Blake.
it's been the name of the episode.
We had the Liverpool game where they lost to Palace, and we had the Arsenal game where they lost to Villa. Big implications for the title race. City favorites now, boys.
City won. It's over. We know how good they are in the
you
last.
Think, you think
last,
it's over? You think
we
this
know
is,
how good
you
they are? We know how good they are in the last 10 games of the season.
Fuck, man.
They didn't lose.
I don't
last
think it's
I'm
it.
A sinking feeling. You're right.
I don't think it's it, and but I think it's all in City's hands, which isn't a bold statement, but It's looking guys, Shakesville, boys.
Guys, they're out of the Champions League now. They don't have to rest anybody.
Yeah, this is all they're this focusing is, on. And that shit
this
for
is their primary team. Focus.
So. But it's also one of the, I think it's also one of those ones where it's like, how big of a loss does that have on the City team? Like, yeah. I know they're very mature and I know, but how much does that affect Pep's team talks and the team's attitude and their willingness to buy into his system? I know the Prem is still the Prem, but I'm grasping at straws. They're going to win the Prem. And it'd
be amazing to see if, imagine they just don't win anything. That'd be, oh my God, that'd be so great.
Ah, it'd be great. That'd be hilarious. Give it to us, man. Like, we need it more than they do.
I want you guys to win the most, so.
I want to come in here again with the second quote from Miles. This is my personal favorite. He said, I'm not sure how to feel. Devastated, yet only need a... He fucking... He can't type.
Boys. This isn't Julian's reading,
said,
by the way.
Only need... He said, only need a City drop points. Anyways, he said, yet at the same time, asking City to drop points is like asking a blind kid to play I Spy. Thank you for that, Miles.
Yeah, Miles' analogies sometimes are just like, you just wouldn't be able to think of them.
It's
so
that,
good, bro. Goldbridge-esque.
Yeah, it's that UK-ness that he has. You know what? It's mm-hmm. that globalness. Yes. Like, he's very he's very cultured. Like, he's very in tune with a bunch of stuff. Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, he is kind of right. Like, City haven't lost in the last 10 games of the season in years, it feels like. Well, because it's true. So I would be fucking devastated, respectfully, if I was an Arsenal fan. But, like,
I am.
You know, you still have to play United. You still have to play Spurs.
Still have to play Chelsea.
Not looking good, bruv. Still have to play Chelsea. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's this weekend, right?
Sure. Yeah, probably. I don't know. Like,
fuck, dude.
It's at that time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I do see a reality where City draw points. But again, it's just the maturity thing. It showed with Liverpool. It showed with Liverpool losing 3-0, which we also didn't talk about, which we don't really need to talk about because they're just shit. But losing 3-0 to Atalanta and then Atalanta blow a 2-0 lead on the weekend to, like, bottom of the league. That is generational.
Well, we'll talk about it more next week if they go out today.
Be nice.
True.
Second leg. Because if they come back now, it's kind of pointless.
True. But still, like, losing... at least Arsenal... Wait, were we at home? Did we lose at home?
What, this year?
To Villa?
What?
Was it at Villa?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were at home.
It was at home.
Oh, my God. All these teams. So was Liverpool, though. Like, low-key, losing
Crystal Palace at home. Oh, yeah. That puts more of a dent into Liverpool's mentality than Arsenal's mentality, I think.
Yeah. Like, Villa are still, like, they're making Champions League pretty much next season. Like, they're a good side.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace at home is a crazy, crazy fucking team to lose to. So that really puts a damper in the Jurgen Klopp farewell train. So
it really does.
Oh well,
in the same week too.
Yeah, Julian's really gotten off scotch free from this whole podcast, but we need to talk about this. I couldn't even tell you who they played. I don't remember who they played. I don't remember if they won. Well, they didn't. I know they didn't win, but I can't remember if they drew or
they
lost.
Don't do that much, eh?
All I know is that it was another shitty...
You watched the game, Blake. You watched the game.
Hey, good little team they have. Good little team they have.
Wait, was it Bournemouth this weekend?
It was Bournemouth.
See, good little team that they fucking have, bro. Dom Solanke, like that finish, bro. Yo, do Arsenal need to sign Solanke? Oh my God.
No.
If Arsenal signs Solanke, I'm not against it.
Yo, like,
bro, he's such an annoying little shit. He posted
all the anime bullshit on TikTok. Edit. Yeah,
I know. That's my fucking striker, bro. My striker, bro.
He's ex-Chelsea. What do you want about?
And?
There's been many ex-Chelsea players went to Arsenal.
And he's, you know what he's right now? Current fucking cherry. Up the fucking cherries, bro. Let's go.
I don't know.
Bournemouth, Ipswich, Arsenal in the same fucking league is going to be the best time of my life. You have no idea.
Screw supporting two teams, Miles. Blake has three.
Yikers.
I don't even know where to start with United, to be honest with you. I'm kind of just numb with them. Like, how many times have I come on the podcast and said that? Like, it's getting a little annoying at this point, isn't it?
It's not going to be top five this season either.
Definitely not securing top five. Not like we're going to anyways.
There is one thing to talk about, Ju.
Yeah?
Mr. Eric.
We like, saw the slideshow. We saw the slideshow, Julian.
Well, I made a whole ass PowerPoint presentation on why Ten Hag shouldn't be sacked.
Wait, what? I didn't see this.
It was on my TikTok. I posted it. But anyways.
Oh.
I
saw it. I'm just kidding. Yeah. He might be gone.
And I'm starting to see the vision of him leaving. Not that I agree with it, but like, oh, like what's the other alternative? Plus, also, it's like, it's also looking ever likely. Like, if we sacked Ten Hag and got like a Nagelsmann, it's a little shakes. I think they're kind of like one and the same. But like, I'm like, okay, like he's a decent manager. Like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Why would you kill all the progress that you've made in the rebuild to get another manager?
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah. But it doesn't make sense.
It's even worse if we sacked Ten Hag and get Gareth Southgate.
That'd be so funny. Oh my god, brutal.
At that point, you might as well bring back Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because that's exactly who you're hiring, bro.
I'd personally buy ridiculous season tickets to United games.
I wouldn't
if they get Southgate.
I wouldn't be opposed to a Solskjaer comeback,
bro.
What?
I'd be only way Solskjaer comes back, and I'm not killing someone over it, is if Ten Hag gets sacked today and he comes back as interim for like the rest of the season. But beyond that, If you're putting a contract for an Ollie and it has anything above 6 months on it, get that out of my face. But like, oh my god, Southgate. There's not one reason where I get excited when I hear Gareth Southgate's name. One, he's doing shit in England and English fans don't freaking want him. Two, he would only come earliest mid July. He'd only get started then, meaning he wouldn't have an influence on the transfer targets. It'd be incoherent between him and the board, and just nothing would work. Plus, it makes, like, not that I really care, but like, it makes him have less of a chance of winning the Euros with England. Like, why would he want that noise around his club? Two, he would give another chance to the players. Why would he give another chance to the players? Three, no evidence of any tactical coherence. Sir Jim Ratcliffe gave his first interview for United, and one of the first things he said is that he wanted his team to play like Manchester City and how that's the blueprint. And then you're going to bring in Gareth Southgate. Oh my God. So if it's him, I'm fuming. But then, like, besides that, who are the candidates to take over United? Nagelsmann is probably going to go back to Bayern because Tuchel's almost definitely gone. So
I think
what's
he is
happen
gone
there?
I think he is gone, no?
Yeah, he's leaving, I think.
Yeah, he's gone.
I think it's confirmed at this point. So they're probably going to bring back Nagelsmann at Bayern. So that brings Nagelsmann just off the table. And beyond Southgate, what, like De Zerbi? De Zerbi? Do we want to bring back De Zerbi? Like, De Zerbi, like, Brian and respectfully, are doing shit this year. I think he's mad overrated. He doesn't deserve to manage United off of some mediocre years with
half year
with Brighton, where he met expectations at the best of times. And then before that, like, he had like a good year or two with Shakhtar Donetsk. Like, what are we doing here?
It's at the point where it's stick or twist. And I think it's like that for Chelsea as well. And you got to stick. You got to stick for at least a couple more years because, like you said, what else do you have? You don't have much else.
And I hope the board sees it that way.
Yeah.
The thing that worries me too is that we're probably going to get Dan Ashworth, who's going to come in as our director of football. And he's good friends with Gareth Southgate, bro. It's like fucking hell.
It's just a never-ending cycle, isn't it?
It's just a never-ending cycle. I'm low-key happy that there is no candidate out there because if there's someone clear, like
I know what you mean. It would speed up the process.
So we haven't really heard much about like a candidate coming through for United, which you probably would have heard by now if Ten Hag was gonna get the sack. And I hope because of that, the board goes like, okay, sacking him is not really an option because who are we going to bring in? So instead, let's listen to Ten Hag, let him get the rotten apples in this squad, which apparently there are a lot of, out of the team. Let him build his own squad and then let's start judging him. Plus the fact that like all our left backs have been out at all times this season, like two or three of our center backs have been out. Just massive injuries. I think I heard we have like 37 back four combinations that we've employed this season. You know how ridiculous that is?
37?
37.
That Kamwala kid's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Decent. That includes Kamwala coming in from the academy. I think he's cool. He also got...
No, one thing...
His ankle's broken by Swanky.
Yeah, but one thing I didn't appreciate. Mark Goldbridge was, like, having a go at him. You don't disrespect your young players when they haven't even proven anything, you know?
Yeah, like, calm down, Mr. Mark.
No, Ten Hag wasn't going at Garnacho. Mark Goldbridge was defending Garnacho saying that Ten Hag was...
No, we're talking about Kamwala. Kamwala.
Oh, he was. I didn't see him going hard on Kamwala either. But anyways, they're both like 19 years old. They're both coming through the academy. So I think they're both in the same category of like why... You know, like... Anyways. I think Kamwala is in the same category as Anthony Elanga was a couple years ago for United, where he's a good little player, sure, but you're bringing him into the side too early because you have too many injuries or just, you know, some issues there in that position. So while, yes, he may be ready for United one day, you're actively kind of sabotaging him by bringing him in too early and kind of ruining his progress a little bit. Because Anthony Elanga was brought in way too early at United, should have like gone on loan first, whatever, and then let him develop at a smaller club and then let him come back and then he's actually ready. Now he's actually flourishing into a good little player there at Forest. I think that's the same thing with Kamwala here. You know, not everyone is like a Mainu or Garnacho who's ready at 18 years old and you can bring them into the first team squad. I think that's the kind of tier that Kamwala is in. But anyways, we have to play him. So 37 different backboard combinations. That's between him in the back line. That's between Amrabat at left back at times this season. That's between Reguilón coming and going. That's between all the, like everything, bro. Last year, like it was Luke Shaw, Varane, Licha, and Dalot. And that rarely changed throughout last season. He was such an important part of our team last
year. Yeah, he was.
Solved so many of our problems in ball progression, in retention, in transition, everything. Plus, he's a solid freaking center back, dude. And now that's gone. And now your ball progressor in the back line is Harry Maguire. And look what happens. We can't play out of a press. We have to play long balls. We have to play on the counter attack like we did under Ollie. So, anyways, if Ten Hag goes, our club is screwed. I'm starting to see United fans kind of hop off his train too, which I'm finding especially disgraceful.
That's the...
Like when Ten Hag came in, we all preached... This is a rebuild, guys. We have to give him patience. We have to let him do what he wants. We have to get behind Ten Hag. And I think our really good first season with him kind of accelerated people's expectations. Now that year two, we're back to reality. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, blame the manager. Get him out again. Let's repeat the cycle. It's like, what are you doing, bro?
That's the reactionary tendencies of football fans, unfortunately. It is,
bro. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is really off topic, but quickly, we talked about Chelsea earlier. We gotta talk about the penalty thing. I know we're shifting really crazy.
Let's transition.
Yeah, just quickly, and then we'll call it a day. But I share my thoughts on this. I think it was really immature, and absolutely. Like I said, that's why I think there's just a lot of bad things about the whole situation. And you guys didn't blame Palmer. I think Palmer should have just. I know he's the penalty taker, but I just think the way he like. Kind of took the ball. I don't know. There's something slimy about it. And even his interviews, he's kind of an arrogant cunt. He's a little bit of an arrogant cunt.
He gives me those vibes for sure. 100%.
They all are, bro.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like,
that's the issue.
That's why they're not doing good. There's just, you can clearly see visibly in front of our eyes that there's a chemistry issue. Because why would they fight for a penalty? In my opinion, why, when there's a clear penalty taker, you know? And then I can also see what you're saying with the Palmer thing, because I guess he could have been generous, or he could have, instead of just taking the ball away from who was it that was holding Madueke, instead of doing that, just like, you know, talking to him, actually trying to solve a problem, you know?
What should have happened is Palmer should have went straight for the ball, took it, and given it to someone, or put it down himself, and just said, that's it. If he's the penalty taker, like, why was he so late to the party? Because they were all arguing. What he should have done...
He was the one that got fouled.
Right when the foul happened... Right when the foul happened, Madueke ran over to the ball and grabbed it out of someone else's hand.
He was also the one that got fouled, wasn't he?
The only reason
you're right.
Palmer just strolled up thinking like, yeah, I'm the penalty taker, I'm going to take the penalty. And then there was this argument there with Jackson and Madueke as well. I think Dele Alli put it best on Monday Night Football when he said that there was no argument between the Chelsea players when it was a tight game against United the other week. And, you know, there was actually pressure on the penalty. But now that they're 4-0 up and it's easy pickings and the game's already won, there's no pressure on this penalty, all of a sudden everybody's coming up and volunteering. So
yeah,
that scenario there, while they did win 6-0, while Palmer was amazing, it's just such a telltale sign of what Chelsea is.
Not a good look.
Yeah. Not a good look at all, dude.
No.
Even Bruno gives up penalties, Blake. And he's an arrogant little shit.
Yeah, so does... That's a sign of a good leader. So I'll give him that. I'll give him that.
Oh, Bruno getting flowers from Blake?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm a changed man. I'm a changed man.
Brace of the weekend.
The guy I'm trying to be in FPL had him. So completely just skyrocketed him above me.
You tied to Bournemouth, buddy. Let's not be talking about a brace.
I know we're shit. You don't have to remind me.
It's okay. We're pretty shit too. But
I think we're only like 2 points ahead of Chelsea now.
We'll try and do you a favor
Chelsea,
on the weekend.
Chelsea, who's had this terrible freaking season, can now overtake us this weekend. Yeah. That's so sad. Anyways, boys, it's 3 o'clock now. Let's do a quick little preview of this Canada versus France friendly, and then be on your way for work.
Let's do it.
What do we think?
I think it's good for Canada. I also think that you guys have a, I don't want to say good chance, but I wouldn't be surprised if you guys beat us.
My opinion on friendlies haven't changed. I think it's still irrelevant, but
yeah,
it's very relevant. Like I wouldn't be upset if you guys won, to be honest. Like I'm not going to be like depressed and on the verge if you guys beat us.
Together.
I think
there
we definitely should watch it together.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Can we get Antoine cheering for Canada? Oh my god.
I don't think that's going to happen. But
that's crazy.
June 9th. Book in your calendars, boys.
Most dead game ever.
FPL roundup as well.
Blake?
It's not the same when Miles is in here.
It's not the same because Miles goes, guys.
All I'm going to say, Antoine's really far ahead. I got the most points again this week.
Again, yeah, Blake's comeback genuinely has to be in the history books.
What's your team plans, Blake? What's your plan for game week 34?
I brought in Joachim Anderson for the double. And he's going to score two headers. And Crystal Palace is going to get two clean sheets. And you guys are going to regret ever doubting my decision.
What about you, Julian?
And that's it. That's it. That's all you're doing.
Well, yeah, I'm not. I already have some. I'm not taking a hit. I don't want to take a hit. I'm good.
All right. No, fair. Yeah. I've made my transfers.
Ooh. See, I don't like making early transfers because then what if they get injured? You know, I learned that the hard way, you know? And I'm not a big fan of early transfers.
I
literally just do it because I need the budget.
Yeah. And there's there's less pressure on me now. Like Miles is 100 points behind me. Like I can make a couple
100
of
points in okay. 4 weeks.
Pressure's on me now, bro. I have a couple more good weeks, man.
Let's get it in there.
Like if Anderson does well, like low key, that could actually
a little
fucking.
Hey, he has two games. If he scores a goal in each game plus two clean sheets,
not even a goal, like solid just 20 one goal, one clean sheet. Are you kidding me? Like solid, that's crazy.
Solid 15 right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We take those.
Are we all wildcarding?
If Salah does well and Miles triple captains him, then you're back in the mud, Blake.
True.
The most he's going to get is 40 points off me.
I don't know.
That's the most.
Salah pops off.
The rest of his team is so.
So even if he has 40 points on me, I'm still 60 ahead. So I just need to. Okay, 50. He can get 50 points on me this week. Is he getting 50 points off me this week?
Not this week, but still 4 weeks.
Still four weeks. We'll see. We'll see.
Regardless, a Tottenham top is getting bought.
Bro, not enough panda buy.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Panda Bye, bro. I have to find a new one now. I'll ask my brother because he's up to date with that. Anywho. All right, let's wrap this up.
Let's do it.
A good good little first edition of the Remote Pod Boys.
Yeah, I like so. This. I feel like it's going to be easier like to edit because you can like, when we're like talking over each other, you can like space them out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because there's no ambient sound.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hey, we'll see.
We'll see. All right, Jim.
Next week will be better with four men. We miss you again, Miles.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. It's been a packed week of football, and we've enjoyed it very much. We have another massive one coming up. Maybe by the time we're back, Liverpool have come back versus Atalanta. They're back in the title race. We don't know. Yeah. Maybe they lose again and City have won the league. Who knows?
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. Boys, thank you again for a very good week.
Thank you.
And with that being said,
we out.
See ya.